It's more blessed to give than receive, according to Acts 20:35. But not if that is the reason to give. Giving with a purity of purpose manifests if your intention is in the true spirit of giving, giving of oneself, one's time, one's skills, one's heart, and sometimes one's money. Giving helps others and improves lives. Now, imagine you can come together as a small group of people who can make a difference to small charities that make a difference in the lives of people in need. Margaret Mead is credited with saying, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." It's a quote that also epitomizes what Martin McNish and 100 or so of his closest friends are doing. They are changing the lives of hundreds of people who rely on small charities. So rather than wait for the opportunity to give to come to him, McNish sought out a way to build his own small group of committed citizens. What started as 100 men who give a damn quickly morphed into an expanding group of women and men who show up at 4 events each year to support micro-charities. Give a Damn is about believing you can make a difference. Martin McNish, at each quarterly event, emphasizes the point that not giving a damn is to resign yourself to believing you can't make a difference. We invited Martin McNish to join us for a conversation that matters about the gift of giving.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
Martin McNish, welcome. I say Martin McNish because, full disclosure, you are my son. And you're a son that I am pretty impressed by because of your commitment to charitable giving. Why is charitable giving so important to you? And then by extension, that's what we really want to talk about here, is why is charitable giving important to all of us and the contribution that it makes to society as a whole?
It's important to me because I've seen the impact that charitable giving's made on my life. And by way of actually volunteering my time, not just donating money.
Talking about being the recipient, because you had been the recipient at one point in your life of people who gave.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're talking about how it's benefited your life and what you've done.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And through that experience, in my early 20s, I realized what a big impact this is making on my life. And I'm thinking that so many people out there are missing out on this component.
Okay, describe that component. What is it?
When you give your time, there is an effect on you that you are part of something bigger than the whole, bigger than yourself. And it's an incredibly powerful feeling. And it was incredibly powerful to me because I didn't think I had the ability to make a change in the world or to impact somebody's life even. And so when I came away from that experience, you know, my heart's blown open and I can't believe that this isn't talked about, as much. I think there's misconceptions about, what giving is and why people give.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you started... the biggest commitment that you had was to Camp Carey, correct?
Yes, yeah.
What is Camp Carey? What did you do?
Camp Carey is a bereavement camp that serves young families who are experiencing grief and loss. And my first experience with Camp Carey was, I was about 24 years old and I volunteered my time there during its Camp Carey's BC family retreat. And I felt like I was completely out of my depth, but after 3 days of being completely immersed in this amazing space that Camp Carey holds for families, I stepped away going from that. Not saying that, you know, it was good that I was able to give my time to such an important cause, but what a privilege it was to be a part of that experience.
So what did you do? You say, okay, you went to this camp, but what was your role?
I was a volunteer. I got encouraged to volunteer just to run sports and activities. And what I realized was that was the main purpose for me being there. But really, I was part of this incredible environment of community helping people that needed it.
Well, and we're talking about somebody who's lost a family member.
Yes.
Namely a father, wasn't it?
In this case, yeah, the family that you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a parent.
It's a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that experience was, I remember, it was transformative.
Yeah, transformative, yeah.
How would you describe how it changed you? You know, in relationship to your opening statement here, how did it wind up changing you?
I was open to a depth, really, of the human experience. You know, as a young male in his early 20s, you know, you're on a career path, you want to be, you know, knocking off the milestones, and although that felt of the most importance at the time, that was the most important thing that I was pursuing, I walked away from that experience going, that's surface level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is what living's about.
I gotta get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Conversations That Matter is brought to you by Odlum Brown, a client-focused investment firm that starts client relationships with straightforward conversations focused on you, your aspirations, and your investment priorities. Odlum Brown has been a supporter of Conversations That Matter from the day we started this show. Their only condition was that we provide a non-biased conversation with people from all sides of all sorts of issues. And of course, we couldn't produce this show without the support of Oh Boy Productions. If you're looking to produce a show like this one, I suggest you reach out to Oh Boy. They can help you produce it, and they can help you build your audience. And we also need your support. I ask you to please pledge $1 per show by going to conversationsthatmatter.tv/donate, because those dollars add up and play an important role in helping us produce this show. Now, back to the show. This was not a one-off experience.
No.
You're still doing it, aren't you?
Still doing it, yeah. 13 years. Yeah.
So what do you continue to get out of it? Because this is a big commitment.
It is. And, you know, each year when I go on my way up to the retreat, there's a bit of apprehension. This is not my day-to-day. I don't deal in bereavement and grief counseling, but, you know, Camp Carrie has become a big part of my life. I have a bit of this apprehension, a little bit of nervous energy before going to the weekend, but when I leave, I feel that I was a part of something very significant, and I feel it's, you feel almost like you're on a high. You were part of something very special. Something big occurred there, and you were a role player in that.
Uh-huh.
But it's less than that. It's what was created. Actually, I heard a really good metaphor to describe this notion.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a log that's lit, that's on fire, and you place it beside an unlit log, the two will naturally start burning as one. And if you remove that first log, that log is now burning hotter, brighter, and with more intensity than had it not been put together with the fire.
And the other one's still burning too.
And the other one's still burning too.
Good metaphor.
Yeah.
Very good metaphor. Okay, so you do that for a little while, and then you go, okay, that's not enough. And you're busy. You're building your career, and you decide that you want to do something else. Along comes 100 Men Who Give a Damn, which is the genesis of something that's grown into being even bigger. Where did this idea come from, and what was it that motivated you to say, okay, I want to give even more?
So the idea is, at its core, it's crowdfunding, bringing charities, local organizations, together with people who have an interest in learning more, in getting connected with them, in contributing to them.
Small charities.
Small
charities. One of the things that I quite like about this.
Yeah.
These are charities that don't have the big advertising dollars and aren't getting all sorts of attention in media.
Yeah.
They're, you know, small groups that say there's a need that needs to be filled here. And so how'd you come up with this idea?
I didn't come up with the idea.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, so this notion of crowdfunding is different chapters are popping up all over the place,
mm-hmm.
in Canada, the United States, across the world. So this was an existing idea. And when I heard about it, I said, that's a great idea. I want to join the group in Vancouver. And the friend that introduced me to the idea said, it's not currently
There isn't one.
In Vancouver, so you need to get it going. And so I kind of had one of these moments of, you know, why not? And so I gathered some group of friends together, and we made a shot at making this thing happen. But to answer your question, I think it was why.
Yeah.
Why did the idea resonate so much with me?
Right.
It was because up until that point, I'd had such a strong experience with
Camp Cary. Yeah.
And as I was mentioning earlier, I think that is a component that is missing out of so many people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not as giving as a form of sacrificing time or money, but of actually benefiting from it.
Yes.
And what I love so much about this model is you're creating an environment where you have charities that do have a financial need, but they also have a manpower need. Okay, they need people to be donating their time, whether it be on boards or, you know, on the field in operations. And you have a group of people who are very keen on meeting these organizations. And what's beautiful, and we've seen it happen, you know, we've had 16 events and there's several success stories. You put them in the right environment and you're creating that channel, that opportunity for that connection to happen between charity and individual. And to me, that's the success of it.
So yeah. 16 events, you have 3 charities come out a night.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking a pretty significant number of people, 48 different groups that have had the opportunity to present.
Yep.
And get word out where they may not have had an audience.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. But you've also raised money.
Yes.
So you got 100 people who show up. Where's the money come from? How does the whole system function?
Yeah. Well, I'll unpack that one for you. So the money comes via everybody who walks in the door. And so, you know, the original concept was 100 men who give a damn. We've now since evolved to just give a damn. We've taken away the limiters. And everybody that walks in the door has $100 to donate. It goes directly to charity. 100%.
Yeah, it goes into the pot and then it's...
Yeah. It goes into the pot and then directly to the charities. And then everything else, all the overhead, everything has been donated to date. And so on one hand, it's been very challenging to be running 16 events without any overhead. However, you know, I'm incredibly proud of the banding together of resources that everybody involved in the group has, you know, contributed to make this happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So $100 per person comes in, you get 100. Well, you're getting more than 100 now, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't limit it to 100 any longer. You get more than 100.
Yes.
But at 100, that's $10,000 you got for that night.
Yeah.
How is it determined who gets the money? Is it split up amongst the 3 charities? What's the process?
So it's when the 3 charities arrive at the event, each of them gives a 5-minute presentation, a story of what they're about, who they serve, why they need funding, and everybody that comes in the door has a chip. A voting chip. And so after the presentations conclude, everybody places a vote who they most align with. And originally, the charity with the most votes got all the money. But however, now we're working with surpluses over and above $10,000. So we're able to ensure that everybody that attends an event is walking away with a check. Actually, that being said, I believe almost every single charity to date has walked away from a check as part of being a part of Give a Damn.
I note also that you've now started to bring in others who are supporting or giving some matching funds or boosting the pot.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Well, I mean, I think the idea has caught on with some people in the community.
Yeah.
I think it's an idea that is really promoting this new wave of giving and a new generation of givers, of philanthropists. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of apathy that we're fighting back against, and that's really turning people on to, you know, what we're about and what we're doing.
So I was at your most recent event. I've been to a few of them.
You have?
And you look around that room, we're talking about people who are, for the most part, the majority, I would say, are in their 30s.
Yeah.
And these are people who are saying, I care.
Yeah.
So what does that say about our society? Because you get up and you start each presentation and you talk about, you know, What does it mean to give a damn? What does it mean not to give a damn?
Yeah.
Why do you make that that speech? And you've repeated it a couple of times.
I make that speech because not only is it a good ritual and a reminder, but I think it underscores what this movement is all about. And so...
Well, so what is it about? Yeah. Is it about giving a damn? Because you say the opposite of giving a damn isn't not giving a damn.
Yeah.
So what is not giving a damn?
The opposite of giving a damn is giving up hope.
Giving up hope.
Giving up hope. Giving up hope that you have the ability to make a difference in the world that you live.
That's a sad statement.
It is a sad statement.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier. You feel like by giving,
yeah,
you feel that you're making a contribution that can make a difference.
Yes.
You're helping to build the society that we want to live in and the world that we want to live in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. What's the response when you tell people that? Are you catching people a little bit off guard?
I think it forces people to take a look at the bigger picture and where the world is at. I mean, this isn't the only space where there's apathy. You look outside, you know, our even the charitable sector, I think there's a lot of apathy in the world and a lot of, you know, giving up hope that we could make difference in other avenues of our life. And so I think having an experience, the intimate experience that I described earlier with Camp Carey and my volunteering is really... provides enthusiasm, confidence. It makes you optimistic about the future.
Right.
Yeah.
So remember when we were having the conversation about having this conversation, we were talking about, yeah. But we were talking about, okay, so what are we going to cover and why do people want to give?
Yeah.
And I told you that I thought that in giving there was a tremendous amount that went back to the person who was the giver.
Yes.
Because it made them feel privileged. It made them feel good about themselves.
Uh-huh.
It was a way of like, and so that in some ways it was a selfish act.
Yes.
And you said, why do you not agree with that giving is in some ways a selfish act?
Okay. I think it is. Okay. I'm backtracking here. I definitely think it is in that sense because it's a selfish act in the sense that I benefit from it as well
yes.
when I give. Yes.
Right. But is that the motivator? Do you think that?
No.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
I think that that's what drives people.
No, I don't think it does. I think that feeling, the one that I'm describing, can only happen in an environment where there's two individuals or a group that are open and vulnerable and the space is set for that experience to occur. However, if you're going out there to seek that experience, it's one of those things that the harder that you try to experience it, the right. more it will slip away.
So you mean if you go out, I'm going to donate and that's going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
You're actually not going to feel good.
Well, no,
you might. But
you might on a surface level for sure. But the depth of the experience that I'm talking about is something, it goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you get out of this? I watch you, and it's remarkable to look up and see you in front of this group, and it's as though you are in your power band. I don't know what it is. Like, it's though everything's been abandoned. I'm here for a purpose. I'm not here about me. I'm here for a purpose. And what does that do for you, knowing that not only are you giving money, but you're giving your time, you're driving your energy, and all these things?
Yeah.
How do you benefit by being an organizer of something like this?
I don't back it out. I don't know what the benefit of it is personally, but I can tell you that the idea resonates with me. There is an alignment in what we're doing, you know, with me personally. And so, you know, I look at this and I just go, well, okay, well, this is the opportunity. This is the steps that we need to do to get there. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also noticed the group of young, I say young because they're young too. The group of men and women that have joined you on this journey, a lot of them, I've seen them on your life path for decades now.
Yeah.
What does it bring to them, and what does it bring to that sense of community that you have? Because the reason I bring this up is I think that when you get involved in a group like this and you say, yeah, I'm a part of that, you also break down other barriers that exist in an urban environment in ways that, you know, you're not going to the same ballpark any longer. Like that there is a social and relationship value that comes out of this.
Yeah.
Because you've made a commitment to say, I want to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. However, I think the people going there to seek that, again, aren't going to find it. It's a byproduct of what we're
being
doing.
There.
Yeah.
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 And so, yeah, that's not, but they go there. So if somebody says to you, wow, Martin, I really like this. I want to do this in Prince George, yeah, or I want to do it in Calgary. What would you suggest to them on how to get going?
Get in touch with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll share the story. And you know, there was a group out east that wrote a bit of a playbook on how to get started. I mean, again, at the core, the fundamental idea of it is quite simple. You host an event at a venue, you're bringing members that run organizations within your community and people that want to get involved, and you're putting them in the same room, and out of that magic can happen.
Give me a top three or four things that you really have to have in mind if you want to make this happen.
Well, you need to have someone in the community that is connected with venues and has strong relationships with these venues, because again, you don't have the overhead or the expenses to be able to rent these things out. And you need to obviously fill the room. And so, you know, what I did was I went through, you know, a list of friends that through different, you know, degrees of separation and different social circles and whatnot. And, you know, we banded together, and it was as simple as, you know, if you get 10 people to come to the first event, you get 10 people to come to the first event, et cetera, et cetera. And
yeah, but getting that many people to commit their time to come on a specific day,
yeah,
to do this takes a bit of suasion.
Yeah.
and so do you have to beg, borrow, and steal to get people to make a commitment to come?
No.
Really?
No. I think the idea either resonates with people or it doesn't. And I've been so surprised with how many people go, hell yeah, that's a good idea. I'll see you at the next event.
And they show up.
And they show up.
Wow. And from a managing all of this perspective.
There is a fintech company in town called, in Vancouver, called Charitable Impact, formerly called Chimp. And they actually make the operations of this very easy. And so what we've done is we've set ourselves up as a giving group.
Mm-hmm.
And so to confirm your attendance at the next event, you make your donation into that giving group, and you're automatically given a tax receipt for that.
How much money are you giving away now over the course of the 4 years that you've been doing this?
We just crossed the $300,000 mark at the last event.
Isn't that remarkable?
I think so.
$300,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've gone and demonstrated that Margaret Mead was right when she said that, you know, a small group of committed people can actually change the world. Congratulations. Well done. Thank you.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thank you.